The Camp Fire, which burned more than 150,000 acres north of Sacramento last year, was California's most destructive and deadliest wildfire. But a new analysis shows more than 500 communities in the West have a higher potential for wildfire than the town of Paradise, where the Camp Fire started. The analysis was done by the Arizona Republic and USA Today Network. It looked at around 5,000 smaller communities across 11 Western states and considered factors including residents' age, the number of mobile homes, how authorities can alert residents to an emergency, and how well residents could evacuate their town. Dennis Wagner is an investigative reporter with the Arizona Republic and USA Today Network and worked on the project. He joins me. And Dennis, first off, what prompted you to even look into this?
The short answer to that question is an editor prompted me. But the longer answer is I've covered dozens of wildfires over the years, some of them fatal, many of them really destructive. And in almost every single one of those fires, you hear the same litany of comments from experts and from residents, and that is, it was just too big, it was too fast, nobody could have anticipated this. And when we looked at what happened in Paradise with the campfire, where 85 people died and thousands of structures were lost, it was the same litany of explanations as to what went wrong. And we started thinking, is that really true, or are people simply not putting their expectations where they should be for a really huge wildfire?
And it sounds like what you found is that in a number of these communities, a fire like that is eminently predictable. Not necessarily the exact location or the exact time, but the fact that it would happen seems like it would be fairly not common knowledge, but knowable.
Right. If you take any specific community, you can't say that a fire there is inevitable. But what you can say is throughout the West, we analyzed 5,000 communities or so. We're looking at smaller communities of 15,000 population or under. And on a 1-to-5 scale in the Forest Service's wildfire threat measurement, Paradise was a 3.81. There's over 500 communities in the West that have a higher threat ratio than Paradise. So we're looking at that going, well, it's not inevitable that any of these towns burn, but it's very probable that one or more of them will, and we need to look at what the factors are that could lead to that.
There were a number of communities in Arizona that had higher wildfire likelihood ratios than Paradise, including places like Pine, Strawberry, Payson, Globe. Do those communities have anything in common, or was it a matter of just some combination of those metrics that you looked at, those factors that could lead to a wildfire? Each one sort of had something unique.
So when you're dealing with the wildfire hazard potential, the threat of a wildfire to hit a community, all of those places have something in common, and that is heavy fuels and the interface between the residential populations or the community and the wildland. That's the common denominator everywhere. That's the biggest factor when it comes to threat.
So we hear so much about how folks who live in that wildland urban interface, or really anywhere, are encouraged to, you know, build a defensible space around their house, clear brush, clear fuels around their homes. Is that something that you found is happening in these kinds of communities?
Yeah, I think in every community we went to, you find that there are two things going on, or more actually, but there are individual residents who really care about this and are worried about fire and are taking reasonable precautions in terms of clearing their land, also making sure their buildings are non-flammable as possible. And at the same time, many of them organize into FireWise groups or fire safe councils, or what they're called in California. But then right next door to those people are many more residents who are not paying attention, are letting shrubs and trees overgrow their yards and hang over their homes. And they become a threat to the residents who do take precautions, because once those homes catch fire, the fire transmits not from the woods or the wildland, it's transmitting from other buildings.
When you talk to fire experts, are there other things that could or should be happening? I mean, it seems as though some of the factors you looked at, some of them there's not much, you know, government or fire officials can do about, things like the age of residents and things like that. But when you look at like mobile alert systems, that seems like something that government could potentially upgrade or update to try to make it less of a problem.
Yeah, I'm as a journalist, I'm not in a position of advocacy, but I could see lawmakers looking at some way to standardize, for example, the emergency alert system, because right now it's a hodgepodge. It's a combination of reverse 911, other text alerting systems, sirens in some communities. There's all kinds of different methods. They overlap, and often, more often, they underlap, because sometimes residents have to enroll for them. And in most of these communities, they're tourist-oriented communities where the people that may be there when the fire hit aren't even familiar with the evacuation routes, the emergency systems, that kind of thing.
Do fire experts seem to think that the fact that we have been in a drought in the West for the better part of the last decade or so, rising temperatures, the fact that folks are moving into these smaller communities, I mean, are they saying that those are also factors in terms of not so much where a fire happens, but the level of destruction that a fire in a particular location might have?
Yeah, there's really not any question about it when you look at the data on major rogue wildfires, the really brutal bad ones. They're coming in off seasons when they weren't occurring before. They are bigger and they are more fierce, and the results are greater levels of destruction. And if you look at any studies on and simulations, computer simulations being used by the experts, they're troubled because they're having a difficult time putting global warming into the simulations.
All right. That's Dennis Wagner, an investigative reporter with the Arizona Republic and the USA Today Network. Dennis, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.